Last year, I read an excellent book by a woman named Barbara Brown Taylor. She is an Episcopalian priest and an excellent author. In the book, she tells the story of going to a nursing home one Sunday afternoon to lead a worship service for the residents there. It's very informal in the lobby, people coming and going. So Barbara asked them a question. She says, "What story from the Bible would you like for me to read to you today?" There was a long period of silence, and finally an old woman's broken voice broke the silence and said, "Tell us a resurrection story." A moment of silence, and another old man says, "Yes, we'd like to hear a resurrection story." And then all along, the people who had gathered began to say, "We want to hear a resurrection story." You see, these people in that nursing home had no illusions about themselves. Most of them were very old, very frail. They knew their days were numbered in their life. Almost all of them were in poverty. This was a 100% Medicaid facility. And so they wanted, and more than that, they needed a resurrection story. I know that most of us here today, already this morning and another service, again this a little later, are not exactly like those folks in that nursing home. Not many of us are on walkers or in wheelchairs or struggling with dementia. Most of us here today are at least somewhat healthy. Many of us have good jobs, live in beautiful homes, and have generous 401k plans at our work. And yet, if we are honest with ourselves, we are not all that different than that crowd around Barbara Brown Taylor in that nursing home that afternoon. Each one of us is broken, is wounded in some place, and all of us need a resurrection story. You heard one a moment ago. My good friend Lucille read from the Gospel of Matthew 28, a resurrection story from the Bible. These women gathered at the tomb early on Sunday morning. They heard the first to hear the good news. "He is not here. He is risen." Then they saw Jesus, fell at his feet and worshiped him, and heard him say, "Do not be afraid, and go and tell the others that I am alive." There are many resurrection stories in the Bible and the various Gospels. They have different details, but they all end the very same way. They end with an empty tomb, a risen Christ, and new hope for life, and new hope even for death. And since it is my guess that almost everybody here today needs a resurrection story in some way, today I want to tell you one of my favorite resurrection stories of all. It goes back, actually, a good number of years, 19 to be precise, back in the year 1994. A young woman by the name of Kelly Clem was a United Methodist pastor at the Goshen United Methodist Church in Piedmont, Alabama. The Sunday before Easter was Palm Sunday, and the church was packed for a big music program from the children all the way up. Kelly was not only a young Methodist minister, she also was a young mother with two daughters, a two-year-old and a four-year-old. That morning, Kelly's two-year-old daughter was in the nursery being taken care of there. Her four-year-old was right up here in this chancel area with a dozen or more other little 4- and 5-year-olds singing the cherub choir, whatever they call them, as part of the Palm Sunday service, decked out in their little blue and white children's choir robes. Well, as those children sang for Palm Sunday, the weather began a dramatic change. you could see out the windows of that church and you could see the wind, I mean, just about knocking the trees over, blowing violently. All of a sudden, the sky, which was bright, was now black. The lightning began, hail began to fall, and then there was a burst of energy from the wind that was so violent that literally the windows throughout the sanctuary began to shatter. Pieces of glass, shards of glass were shooting. Many people were injured from it. Finally, someone shouted out the obvious. They screamed, "Tornado!" At that point, the ceiling began to rumble. Tiles were falling. And literally, at that moment, the roof of the Goshen United Methodist Church was ripped off the top of the building, and the walls came tumbling and crashing down. Now, Kelly was a minister, but she was mostly a young mother, and her first concern was her two children. And so she ran to check on them, but as she did, running toward the back, a brick fell and hit her in the head. Pretty bad damage. She fell down on her shoulder, broke it, I believe, and was disoriented, almost unconscious for a moment. Finally, she got the wherewithal to stand up, and as she did, she says it was utter devastation in the sanctuary. Well, about that time, a woman ran up, hugged her, and says, "Pastor Kelly, your baby, the two-year-old, is fine. The nursery was not hurt. All the children are fine." Then Kelly ran up to the chancel area where literally just 1 minute earlier, her and all the other children were singing in the children's choir. And I hate to tell you the whole story because where they were singing was covered with bricks. And through the bricks, you could see some of the blue and white choir robes. Well, the people desperately are pulling the bricks. Pull the children out. Thank God many of them survived. The sad story is, though, that Kelly's 4-year-old daughter, Hannah, did not survive the fall of the walls. The end of that story is 19 people that day perished in that sanctuary. 86 others were injured, some very seriously. The days that followed were devastating for everybody in that community and certainly in that church, and especially for Kelly Clem. This woman began officiating one funeral and two and three and four until she had done 19 funerals that week, including one for her 4-year-old daughter, Hannah. Well, toward the end of that week, Kelly began to receive phone calls from members of the congregation asking her a question, and this was the question, "Pastor Kelly, Pastor Clem," whatever they called her, "are we having Easter this year?" I only heard this story last year, and it was a very unusual question when I heard the story. Are we having Easter this year? And yet the more I thought about it, the more I realized it was not a strange question at all. And my guess is a whole lot of us here today are asking a very similar question in our lives. Let me give you a few examples. I know for a fact that some of you here today are in a toxic marriage or a toxic family relationship, and your heart and soul are being ripped in shreds. And you're wondering, are we having Easter this year? Some of you are in a brutal workforce and a brutal office environment, and it's all you can do to get up and go there every day. And you're wondering, are we having Easter this year? Some among us today are sick, maybe seriously ill. And the truth is, you're sick of being sick, and you're wondering, are we having Easter this year? All of us look out at the news every day in our world, and we see wars and violence and nuclear threats from North Korea. We see in our own country bitter, hateful, partisan politics that are beyond the realm. We see mass shootings on a regular basis, environmental crisis, and we all may ask, are we having Easter this year? We've gathered in this church a whole lot of times the last few months for a lot of funerals. Some of you sitting here today have lost dear friends or loved ones, and the grief is deep and raw, and it has not gone away, and you're wondering, are we having Easter this year? And there's a whole lot of other deaths in life. Some of us in recent days have experienced the death of a job and the death of a dream, and we're wondering, are we having Easter this year? Those early disciples could ask that question. This man that they had thrown their hope and life and dreams around had been arrested by the authorities, mocked, beaten nearly to death, put on a cross in a vicious, brutal execution. They took his dead, lifeless body, they put it in a tomb, and surely they wondered, are we having Easter this year? Is there any hope? And so by the end of the week, the members of the Goshen Church are calling Pastor Kelly Clem and saying, Pastor, are we having Easter this year? But Kelly and her pastoral wisdom realized they were not asking about a Sunday morning worship service, not really. Instead, they were saying, Reverend Clem, we need on Easter this year. We need Easter more than we've ever needed it before. And the truth is, after 19 funerals, including one for her own daughter, Kelly desperately needed an Easter that year. And so they planned a sunrise service for their church. Now, the church was there no more. It was utterly destroyed. They met in the lawn, in the front lawn, with all of the devastation, just all in the mix around them. And early on Sunday morning, 200 people gathered in the front yard of that church property, those who had not been killed or seriously injured. And in that dismal setting of death and destruction, Reverend Kelly Clem, a bandage on her head, her arm in a sling, walked up to a makeshift pulpit. And she looked in the eyes of these people whose life had been shattered, her own life among them. And Kelly Clem opened up the book of Romans chapter 8 and read these words, there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And with that, the people of Goshen began their Easter service. And they sang, Christ the Lord is risen today. And they said the Lord's Prayer. And they read a Holy Scripture story of resurrection of a God who is in the full-time business then and now of bringing life out of death, physical death and every other kind of death, death of marriages and businesses and jobs and hopes and dreams. This is the business of God. And that resurrection hope, you see, it gave the people of the Goshen United Methodist Church of Piedmont, Alabama, the strength and the resiliency to rebuild their church and to rebuild their lives. And that Easter resurrection hope gave Kelly Clem and her family the strength and the resiliency to build their life again. In fact, on the day after the tornado, Monday after Sunday, a newspaper reporter called Kelly thinking that maybe she had lost her faith, that maybe the storm that shattered her church and her own 4-year-old daughter had shattered her belief in God. And Kelly said, oh no, my faith has not been shattered. I am holding on to my faith, and my faith is holding on to me, and the people of the church are holding on to one another with the great hope that we will rebuild our lives and our church. And this woman, physically injured and overwhelmingly emotionally in grief over the loss of her child, said these words to that reporter. She said, Easter is coming. Well, Easter came for Kelly Clem and her church. And with the help of God and the risen Christ, Goshen United Methodist Church from that day 19 years ago has rebuilt their church and rebuilt their lives. And the same has been true for Kelly Clem and her family since then. They have continued to live a life of faith and love and especially of hope. Since that awful time, Kelly and her husband had another child, a little girl named Laurel. For years, they served as United Methodist missionaries overseas with the General Board of Global Ministry. And today, Kelly Clem and her husband live in Huntsville, Alabama, back in Alabama, and they both serve a United Methodist church in that community, living a full life, serving God faithfully. So are we having Easter this year? You bet we are. In the name of the Father and of the risen Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.